Chapter 2 this morning. So, as was mentioned, next Sunday, everybody remember potluck lunch. So bring a dish for a side or a pudding, and the church will provide the meat. And we have some nice, shiny new barbecues, so we're all good there. But the Sunday school teachers, make sure you're ready to present next Sunday during the morning service to the prizes for your young people. And then if we could have a quick meeting right after the service over here of all the Awana leaders, just to decide on who gets what awards for next Sunday for the Awana prize giving section as well. So remember that next Sunday prize giving, Sunday school prize giving for Awana, and a shared lunch. Church providing the meat. That's all happening next Sunday. I think that's everything other than tonight. Job 19. Why do ye persecute me as God? Job said. Wednesday night, John chapter 3. He must increase, but I must decrease. So two great opportunities to grow in the Word. 1 Peter 2 this morning. Beautiful passage about our Savior. And I know the Lord will use this in your heart. Beginning in verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So from verse 7, my title this morning is, He is Precious. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your will in every heart through your powerful word this morning. Speak to us, Lord, and change us and meet with us. And may you be glorified in this service, not only, Lord, in the preaching, but also in our heart's response to the preaching. And so we give our hearts unto you and allow the Holy Spirit now to speak to each of us. And we want to push aside all the distractions, Lord, and just focus on hearing from you. We love you and thank you for all of these things and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So three times in this passage, God uses the word precious to talk about Jesus, our Savior. In verse 4, in verse 6, and in verse 7. And that's the theme of my message this morning is, God says that Jesus is precious to us. And I just want us to get a hold of that great truth as God's children. So, God gives us some of the reasons, and I'm going to talk about others. But did you notice that in verse 5, he says that we are built up a spiritual house? That Jesus Christ worked a miracle the day that you were saved and made you part of Him, made you part of the body of Christ. And God also refers to that as a spiritual house, this thing called the church, the body. If you go to Ephesians 2, he elaborates on this for us, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. But the fact that Jesus Christ has taken us and put us into something new, referred to as the church or the body, is wonderful. And one of the reasons why He is precious to us. Notice Ephesians 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So God has been building this building since Pentecost, called the church. And we're part of it. We're part of this spiritual house. And one day the trumpet's going to blow and this spiritual house will all leave together. Hallelujah. In what we refer to as the rapture. Hebrews 3, another verse, please. Hebrews 3, 6. And so as we see, one of the reasons Christ is precious is because of what he's done for us. And we're going to talk more about this. But Jesus has made us part of himself. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, we're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. Notice Hebrews 3, 6. Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope unto the end. Jesus Christ has made us part of his house, part of the church, part of himself. And he's done so much else for us. He's redeemed us, of course. He's atoned us. He's purchased us. He's reconciled us to God. He's justified us. He's forgiven us. And we could go on all morning, couldn't we? Of all these things that Christ has done for us the day that we trusted him as our Savior. Now, back in our passage, verse 5, not only has he made us part of a house, his spiritual house, but he's also made us part of a new priesthood. Notice he says, "and holy priesthood." And we talked about this last Sunday night when we were in Job, but God has worked a miracle and given us access to his throne directly through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're told in Hebrews 4:16, "let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." One of the reasons God allows this access is not only to pray for ourselves, but to pray for others. And every time we get in our closet, every time we get on our knees, and we access the throne of our Creator on behalf of someone else, we are executing the office of the Holy Priesthood. We are praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're beseeching the throne of God on behalf of someone else, hence the priesthood. And in Revelation 1, the Bible says he has made us kings and priests. In Revelation 5:10, he says, "God hath made us kings and priests." That's us. That's what God has done for us. So he's not only made us part of Jesus, but he's also made us part of this amazing thing called a priesthood. That we now have access to the throne and that we can access it on behalf of someone else. And so back to our passage, God says that because Jesus has done so much for us and because he's so precious to us, he says that he wants us to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Why? Why should we be encouraged to offer spiritual sacrifices? Because Christ is worthy of those sacrifices. And because our lives should be so filled with gratitude that we want to offer those spiritual sacrifices. Because he's precious. Now, these spiritual sacrifices are not talking about necessarily physical things, are they? But he's also talking about us. You know, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you" what? "Present your bodies a living sacrifice." One of the greatest sacrifices that you could give Jesus is yourself. "Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. Do with me what you see is best." Now, that's a spiritual sacrifice. The Bible talks in Hebrews 13 about the sacrifice of praise. Every time that we stop and thank the Lord and praise him for something he's done or who he is, that's a sacrifice of praise. And we should be wanting to do these things because of who he is and what he's done for us. Because he's precious. Now, where it talks there in verse 6 about him being the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone of not only this new house called the church, but he's also the chief cornerstone of Israel. And they will learn that when they get to the kingdom. But the Bible says that, verse 6, "because he's precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." You know, if Jesus is truly our Savior and he's precious to us, there is no reason for us to be confused, no reason for us to be afraid. But instead, because of our love for him and our devotion to him and our dedication to him, we should want to do everything we can for him. And that's really what the passage is about. Because if something's precious to us, It's obvious in how we treat it. Amen? That's the facts. We treat things that are precious differently than things that are not precious to us. And if Jesus truly is precious, it's one thing to go to church and say it in a hymn. It's another thing to live it with our lives. Now, he is worthy of our affection. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, 5, I want us just to be reminded that Jesus is worthy of our adoration. I'm so thankful that Brad chose that song this morning. Oh, come, let us adore him. Is he worthy of our adoration? Absolutely. Notice Revelation 1, 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings under the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's saying that we were precious to Christ. We were so precious to him that he was willing to wash us from our sins in his own blood. You can't do a much better display of love than complete sacrifice of self. That a man lay down his life for his friends, which Jesus did. But look at Revelation 5 while you're in Revelation, verse 12. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, saying with a loud voice, by the way, this is a glimpse of us in heaven in the future. And look at what we'll be saying. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You might as well get used to Revelation 5, 12, because that's what you're going to be saying in heaven. We're going to be singing, worthy is the Lamb. He's precious. Jesus is our Redeemer. He's our King. He's our High Priest. He's our Savior. He's the Bread of Life. He's our Good Shepherd. He's our Mediator. He's the Author and Finisher of our faith, our Advocate. He is our Life. We could go on and on. Jesus is everything. That hymn we sing, Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is precious. And it says there in verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, 1 Peter 2, 7, he is precious. You've believed on Christ. Is he precious to you? And that question can only be answered not with your lips, but with your life. And you've heard me say it enough times that love is action. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's not that God wants us to keep saying over and over again, Jesus is precious to me. It's that he wants us to show that Jesus is precious to us through our behavior and how we treat him. So go to Mark 12, verse 30, and we're going to talk about this for a couple moments this morning. But I want us to get a hold of this great truth that if Jesus is truly precious to us, and he should be, that will be obvious to the Lord through how we treat him. Notice Mark 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Think about it. I want you to notice the word all in that verse. Shows up four times. So it doesn't say part of your heart and part of your soul and part of your mind and part of your strength. It says all. It's saying that God is worthy of all of us. That is how we're to love him. So how do we love him with all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength? How do we do that? Well, we do it by how we live our lives. Jesus said in John 14, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So what Christ is telling us, if you go to 1 John, please, chapter 5, verse 3, is that we reveal his preciousness through our lives. with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. God's saying he wants all of us. Now, he already owns all of us, right? Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, 1 Corinthians 6:20. He already owns us, but he wants us now to give him all of us back. Because he's given us a free will. We can choose to reveal his preciousness or not. He saved us from hell. He's done so much for us. Notice here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. This is the love of God. That sounds like it's going to be an important statement. Amen? Not this is part of the love of God, or this is some of the love of God. This is the love of God. But it's not what people expect today, is it? That we keep his commandments. Everybody wants it to be, oh, that I really sing unto him in church on Sunday morning. That I say, praise the Lord every day. But that's not what it says, is it? It says that the best way to show your love for Christ, to show how precious he is through obedience. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Jesus. In other words, he's everything to me. And Paul didn't just make the statement, did he? Paul lived the life. Paul gave up everything. He said, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. And we can read about it through the book of Acts and through his epistles that when Paul decided to make Christ precious in his life, it's obvious. Because his life was all about Christ. Everything he did was about Christ. And that's exactly what God is talking about. Now, I want you to understand this morning that Jesus and his word are synonymous. Amen? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And what? The Word was God. When we get to Revelation 19, we see Jesus coming back on a white horse with a two-edged sword. And the Bible says his name is called the Word of God. So if Jesus Christ is truly precious to us, we're going to reveal that not only through obedience, but we're also going to reveal that we have a love for this. Amen? Because this is him and he is this. And so we can't say Jesus is precious to me, but I don't read his word. I don't meditate in his word. I don't study it. I don't expose myself to it as often as I should in church. Jesus is very precious to me, but his word isn't. It doesn't work like that. David said, oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day. In Psalm 119:97. David said, I love the word of God more than anything. He also said, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. He said, I want to expose myself to the word every chance I get. Why? Because he loved God. And if Jesus is truly precious to us, we don't have to say it. Now, it's great to come to church and sing praises to him, but God already knows how precious Jesus is to us by just watching our lives. Do we obey? Do we love his word enough to study it, enough to expose ourselves to it in church, enough to read it and memorize it and hide it in our hearts? Are we doing those things? And if you would look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. God wants us, as we see in this passage, to make Christ the most precious thing in our lives. But that only happens through our behavior. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Look at this next phrase. And labor of love. Labor of love. What is that? Well, that is when we take our gifts and our time and our energy and we serve Jesus Christ out of love. Not out of duty, not out of servitude, as in he's my master and I'm his slave and I have to do it. We serve Jesus because we love Jesus. Because we have to serve Jesus. Paul said, as much as in me is, I have to preach the gospel. I have to do it. I have no choice. Because I love the Lord so much, I have to. And that should be our attitude, that Jesus is so precious to me that I have to obey. That I have to make his word a vital part of my life. That I have to serve Jesus Christ. And we could talk about the many verses that talk about how important it is that we serve Christ, but we already know those. We know how important this is. But the point that God is getting across here is that Jesus Christ is precious. He is amazing. He's everything. And we could spend the rest of the morning just talking about how amazing Jesus is. Because Jesus is everything. But what God is saying is, it's not enough to say it. He wants us to live it. If Jesus Christ is truly precious, notice he contrasts it here in verse 7, but unto them which be disobedient. Now, why would he contrast those that believe he's precious with those that be disobedient? Because the way that we most powerfully show the preciousness of Christ is through obedience. And so he's contrasting it with those that be disobedient. And he's saying that the stone, that's, remember, Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. He's the chief cornerstone of Israel. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same has made the head of the corner. The people who reject Jesus Christ one day will be judged by Jesus Christ. But we haven't rejected Jesus Christ. We've accepted him. And we've said, you are my Savior. You are my all. I give you my life. You are my master. You are my king. And I believe God says, yes, but is he precious? And the only answer to that is not with our lips. The Bible says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. 1 John 3:18. But indeed. So God's not asking for us to love with our words. He's asking us to love with our lives. And if Jesus is truly precious to us, that will be evident by how we treat him. Is he number one? Is obeying him number one? Is making his word a part of our lives number one? Is serving him number one? And that is how we will say to God, he's precious to me. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and God evaluates our lives, he's going to let us in, praise God, because it's not based on our behavior. But we're still going to have to give account. What did you do with what I gave you? I gave you gifts. I gave you time. I gave you air to breathe and life. Did you use it for me? Or not. We'll have to give account for that. Praise God, we don't have to give account for our sins. If you're born again, those are gone. Amen? But we will give account for what we chose to do with our lives once we were Christians. Did we make Jesus Christ precious to us through our obedience, through our love for his word, through our willingness to serve him and make him number one in our lives? And, of course, God already knows the answer to that question. So we need to be honest with the Holy Spirit about where we stand in the answer to that question. Is he precious? God clearly says in this passage, he is precious. So let's make it real in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank